Let's open with a word of prayer. We're in Ephesians chapter 5. Once again, this is lesson 22. This is our 22nd week in the book of Ephesians. And we're fixing to really get into some good stuff, and it's going to take me time. So I don't want you to miss these lessons. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege and the honor and the joy it is to meet and gather in this place and study your beautiful word together. Father, we hold in our hands such a precious and priceless treasure. Help us to understand that this book is just everything we need. And our greatest need is to learn it and then to live by it. And that's what we're learning about in Ephesians. How to walk worthy. And Father, I know in my heart, I want to walk worthy. And I believe in the hearts of all of these dear ladies here this morning that that is their heart cry. God, teach us how to walk worthy. What does that look like so that I might do it, that I might obey with all my heart? And so, Father, strengthen us this morning and help us to have our eyes opened by your Spirit as we learn these wonderful truths out of chapter 5 of Ephesians. I pray, God, that this lesson would be exciting. That, Father, it would be an adventure as we study your word each week and then walk out those doors to live it. I pray, Father, that you'll just give us ears to hear and help us to be women who walk worthy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's just start by reading the three verses this morning that I want us to follow. I'm going to read it first out of the Revised edition. Let's read it starting in verse 15 through 17. This is the New American Standard. I'm sorry. Verse 15 through 17 says this. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now I want to read it out of the King James Version, because there's a word in the King James that I really like. It's an old English word. And this is what it says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what I want you to see this morning is that when you became a Christian, when you were born again, you came out, last week we saw, out of the kingdom of darkness, and you were placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But this morning, this is what I want you to see. When you were born again, you came out of foolishness, and you were placed into wisdom. Wisdom. Walking in wisdom is another element of the worthy walk, and that's what we're going to be talking about that. Now, we've been talking about the worthy walk ever since we hit the second half of the book of Ephesians, starting in verse 4, going all the way through chapter 4 through chapter 6. Remember what the first three chapters told us. They told us all about who we are in Christ. It was all about where we were seated positionally. And what became ours when we came and were born again and were placed into Christ. And now when we've come to chapter 4, we're talking about what is that truth about who you are, what does that translate into when you're actually living here on planet Earth and you're walking it out day by day? Because positional truth should play out in a certain walk in your life. It's very, very practical. So the first three chapters give us our position. And then now in chapter 4 through 6, we're learning how we're to walk. And it's a worthy walk. Now I want you to put a marker in your Bible and close it. And we're going to have a test. Put a marker in your Bible and close it. And on your handout, I want you to review what you remember for the last 5 weeks. I've given you a different aspect of the worthy walk every week. See how many you can write down. And you can talk about it amongst yourselves at the table. See see how many you remember. What did we learn? First, it was what kind of wall. Then second, then third. See what you can come up. Now, you should remember what last week was because I just told you. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into light. So that'll be number five. I gave you a free one. You remember where it starts now. Starts with an H. You were ready. You were ready.
Was humility.
And
you can't read my handwriting.
Before she came, she knew I was going to do this.
It's a walk of unity.
Are you having any luck? You're cheating. The school teacher is cheating. All right, let's talk about it. Come back to me and I'll give you the answers. What was the very first thing we saw? It's a walk of
humility.
That's where you start. You start by saying, I can't do this, God. And he says, you're right, you can't. And so just humble yourself. You're a broken person. And it's going to be as I empower you. That's the only way you'll walk the worthy walk. And then it's a walk of
unity.
Good. And then it is a different walk or a unique walk. Remember, you don't walk as the Gentiles do. You don't walk as the pagans do. And then it is a love walk. Because God is love. We are his children. We are children who walk in love as our Father does. And then last week we saw it was a walk in the light. And today we're going to talk about it's a wise walk. It's a wise walk. Now, what does he mean here in this verse that we're to walk in wisdom? Now notice a phrase. Go to verse 16. I want to pull a phrase out. In the King James, the New King James, it says redeeming the time. I like that phrase. In my New American Standard, it says making the most of your time. Now I want you to notice the definite article there in your Bibles. It says the time. It's not just make the most of time. It's to make the most of the time. We have this definite set time. Each of us do. You and I have a certain number of days we're going to live on this earth. It is a time that is set and determined by God's sovereign choice. And God knows the beginning and the end. God knows the beginning of your days. God knows the end of your days. God knows them both. Because look at Psalm 139 there. I put the verse on your handout, didn't I? It says, in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not a one of them. You were not a surprise when you were born. God didn't say, oh, there's another baby. No, you were already in his plan before God ever founded the world. We saw that in chapter 1. Before the foundation of the world, he knows us. He ordained our days. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. Look what James 4 says on your handout. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You see, each of us has a certain allotted amount of time that we'll live on planet Earth. So here's what I want you to put in the blanks in the next sentence. Wisdom, in verse 15, leads us to think of time in verse 16. And what I'm wanting you to do this morning is to hook those two words together in your thinking. So what does it mean to walk in wisdom? It means to make the most of your time. A wise person makes the most of their time. Now here's what Paul's saying to us. Because of who you are. Because of everything that's true of you in chapters 1 through 3, because of everything I've done for you in Christ in chapters 1 through 3, use your time wisely. All right? Now notice it says, therefore, in the beginning. Or it says in the New King James, see then, he says, in verse 15. In other words, he's taking this verse and he's tying it to the previous verse. And the previous verse is, it feels like this. It says, since you have been made alive in Christ, since you have awakened from your sleep. He's speaking of salvation. Since you have come from darkness into light, since this amazing thing has happened to you, this amazing thing called salvation, this salvation that takes you out of foolishness and places you into wisdom, see that you walk circumspectly or carefully, making the most of your time. You don't want to walk like a fool. You want to walk like a wise woman of God. Amen? Do you? I do. Because you're not a fool now. You're wise. So Paul is saying, see that you live like it. Walk in a manner that fits wisdom. That's the worthy walk. Now, look at Colossians 2:3. I put that, I think. Did I put that on your handout? Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Let me read it to you. Colossians 2:3 says this. Just jot it down because I want you to know where the reference is. Now listen carefully. This was one of the most important verses. I'm sorry I left it off. In him, Paul says in Colossians. In Christ, he says. In him are hidden, listen carefully, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where do I go to become a wise person? There's only one place I can go, and that's to Christ. In Christ are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, they're in Him, and they're in Him alone. And when I am placed into the kingdom of light, when I am placed into Christ, listen to what that means. I, little Teresa, who's not very there, I've had brain surgery, I have access to wisdom. You do too. You do too. Isn't that amazing? And then if you go to Colossians 2 again and look at another verse that I forgot to put on there, verse 10, this is what it says. This is amazing. And you are complete in Him. Now I'm telling you this morning, everything you need is in Christ. Everything you need. Now, do you believe that? Do you? Do you believe that? Everything. You're complete in Him. I don't have to have a husband to make me complete. I don't have to have a fulfilling job to make me complete. I don't have to have anything out there that makes me complete. Everything I need is in Christ. Everything. So when things go bad out there and jobs aren't going and my husband goes crazy and all these things, it's still okay. I'm complete because I have Christ. And in Him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now look on your handout at 1 Corinthians 1:30 because I put that one on there. And that says this. Let me find it. Did I put that on there?
Yes.
Where is it? Oh, yes, I see it. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Is that not amazing? You see, when you received Christ and when you were born again, guess what Christ was made unto you? What's the very first thing? What's the very first thing?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, that means making you holy, and redemption. All four of those are yours when you come to Christ. And I think the order is very interesting in that verse because wisdom is first on the list and redeemed is last on the list. And I'm saying to you this morning that wisdom was granted to you at the point of salvation. At the point. It's not something that comes to you after you've lived years and years and years and you've got gray hair now and all of that. No, wisdom is yours now. That's what I want you to see in this lesson. It comes to you at the point of salvation. Now, did you know this? Did you know this? And this makes me happy. Because wisdom is just a whole gift within salvation. I was saved in order to possess wisdom. I don't have to wait 20 years, 30 years, 50 years to become wise. And along with that gift came this hungering and a thirsting in my soul for more of it. I want to grow wiser, don't you? I want to make right choices. Now, let's listen to 1 John 2:20, and I put that on your handout. And it says, "You received an anointing from God, and you know all things." You have an anointing from God when you got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in you knows all things. You have wisdom. You are not a fool anymore. You're wise. And on that basis, because what God has done for us in Christ, Paul is crying out in chapter 5, and he's saying, walk wisely. Look at who you are. Look at everything given to you in Christ. Therefore, walk wisely. Live it out. And that's his point in these three verses. Now, there's a part where you grow in wisdom, and you grow in grace, and you grow in knowledge. That is a growing process, but what I'm wanting you to see is it's given to you at salvation. It's yours. It's yours. Now, what about you? You say, Teresa, I just don't feel very wise. I want more wisdom. Do you feel that way this morning? I want to be a wise woman. I want. Well, let's just look at James 1:5 on your handout there. It says, but, that should be if, not is, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Listen to me, ladies. I can tell you, I have proved this verse over and over and over again, especially with raising 5 children. If you need wisdom, run to him. He'll give it to you. I can give you testimony after testimony of how God has given me wisdom in dealing in situations in your life. It is yours for the asking. He's not stingy, because it says in that verse, how does he give? He gives generously. He doesn't hold it back. He's ready to give you everything you like, you need. It's available. You can have it. I think it's important to sit under someone who has the gift of wisdom and learn from them. I think Henry Blackaby has the most tremendous gift of wisdom. We just went through him with Brother Greg. I know experiencing God, I just learned so much during doing that and teaching that. But find people who are very wise. Sit under them. Learn from them. Learn from them. He who is wisdom is in you. So therefore, you need to walk wisely. You need to walk circumspectly. Now let's take these three verses apart, and I want to show you three characteristics of a wise walking Christian. Here comes number one. A wise walking Christian knows what the rules of life are. He knows what the rules of life are. Now go back to verse 15, and let's look at it one more time. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Let's start with the word walk. What does the word walk mean in the Greek? It means this: daily conduct, daily pattern, daily life. And so we're talking about, this is where you are every day in your life. That's what the word walk means. Your daily conduct, your daily pattern of living, your daily life. Now I want to take the word circumspectly, because I like that word. I want to tell you what that word means in the Greek. It is a powerful word. It means, I love this, to look carefully from side to side, to be very alert to what is going on. To look carefully from side to side. Now, believe me, that's how I have to walk when I have these shoes on and I'm in gravel. I have to walk from side to side. I mean, you only wear these shoes when you're on concrete. And so you've got to walk circumspectly. And then number two, it is to walk accurately. Accurately. Now, do you get the feel for the word? You're careful. You're alert. You're thinking, how am I walking every day? I don't want to be sloppy in my life. I'm going to be careful. So you're going to walk carefully. That's another thing. And you're going to walk with exactness. I like that word too. Now, do you get the sense here? A wise Christian is a very careful individual. And he's going to walk with great care, and he's going to chart his course, and he's going to do it all according to the principles that are designed by God in his word. Now, here I am. I am going to walk circumspectly, and I want to walk worthy. You know what that means? I'm going to be very careful. What does God's word say? Because I want my life to line up with what his word says. So I'm alert. I'm listening. I'm studying. I'm learning. I'm coming to Sunday school. Sunday school is a wonderful way to learn how to walk circumspectly. Come every week and we're going to study. So the wise Christian is very, very careful. He's charting his course. He's not just flip-flopping in his Christian life. It's the picture of this. He's looking at every step, every step. Now, we live in a world that thinks it's wise. The world thinks it has wisdom. And you know what the world does? The world looks at Christians and they think Christians are so foolish. Silly Christians. But the truth of it is, before Christ, we were fools. We were in that world system. Now, we might not be the brightest people in the world, and we might not be the noblest people in the world, but we are the wisest people in the world. We are. We are directly connected to the wisdom of Christ. Now, look at Romans 1. Did I put this on? Good for me. Look at verse 19 there in Romans 1. And it says this, "For though they knew God," this is what we were before, "they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." And that's the story of the world. "They became vain in their imaginations," one version says. "And they profess wisdom, but they're actually fools." Now, I'm going to tell you who a fool is. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." That's out of Psalms. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." But actually, it's not being an atheist and saying there is no God. Let me tell you what a fool is. A fool is someone who may believe in God, but then lives their life as if God has no claim on them. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I believe in God, but I will live as I please. I will do as I please. And that is living an atheistic lifestyle as if there were no God. He's someone who doesn't think he has to live by God's standards. He's just living his life apart from God. And that's where most of the world is. But here's the truth. If you're in Christ, you're wise. And since that is the truth, and that is what is true of us, God, Paul says here, walk in wisdom. Know God's principles. Walk in his principles. Now here's the second point I want to make. The wise Christian knows that he has a limited time. A limited time. Now look back at verse 16. New King James says, "redeeming the time because the days are evil." New American Standard says, "making the most of your time." Now here's the point. Now, today, right now, is the time for you to walk wisely. Redeeming the time. He's talking here. He's using a Greek word, and let me tell you what it means. Opportunity. Opportunity. You are to redeem the opportunities. The moments that you can grasp for God and for good and for his glory. Now, I read this week about a statue that the Greeks had in one of their cities. And it stood in the center of their city, and it was carved and it was chiseled by a man whose name was Lysippus. Now just see if you can picture what this statue looked like. It had wings on its feet. It had a great lock of hair right in the front, but from the here back it was completely bald. And underneath the statue was a base, and carved in the Greek was this dialogue. "Who made thee?" "Lysippus made me." "What is thy name?" "My name is Opportunity." "Why hast thou wings on thy feet?" that I may fly away swiftly. Why hast thou a forelock, that men may seize me when I come? Why art thou bald in the back? Because when I am gone by, none can lay hold of me. Opportunity. The believer who walks in wisdom knows how to make the most of our opportunities. Listen to Psalm 90:12. Did I put that on there? Good. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now, once again, it is wisdom that uses time, that takes its time and makes the most of its opportunity. Now, you know that the Christian way is called a narrow way, isn't it? And so wisdom is going to walk down the narrow path, and wisdom is going to see its opportunities for evil and shun those opportunities and see its opportunities for God and for good, and they're going to grab hold of those opportunities and use those times to shine for God. Now, even more important is it, as he says at the end of verse 16, because the days are evil, and you and I are living in evil days. Our opportunities for righteousness are few. For goodness are few. And when they come, you've got to grab them. Because we're given these golden jewels of opportunity. God gives us these opportunities to make things happen that matter. Something good. Something righteous for Him. Now let me tell you something about those who were living in Ephesus. They were living in a very evil day, just like us. They lived in a very pagan society. They had false teachers. They were perverted sexually. Greediness everywhere. Lying, stealing, corrupt communication, sex crazed. I mean, it was a living day of evil. And persecution was on the horizon for them. And less than 100 years or so from this time that this was written, Christians were going to be burned at the stake and they were going to be thrown to the lions. And I stood right in the Colosseum where that happened. And I saw right where the lions were. And heard the stories of how they were fed to the lions. And that was coming fast. And so whatever they were going to do, they had to do now. A few years after this, before the end of the first century, John wrote to the Ephesian church in Revelation. You know what he told the Ephesian church? Do you remember when we studied the churches? They were the first church. And they were the mother church. And John said, you do some things well, but I have this against you. You've lost your first love. And if something doesn't change in your church, I'm going to remove your candlestick. And the light's going to go out. You know what happened? They didn't change. The light went out. And their church fell into the spell of evil. And there was never another church in the city of Ephesus. The time was short. The days were evil. They fell prey to the time they lived in. We don't want that to happen to us. Do you know when I pray for our church? This is what I pray. God, let the best days that our church have ever seen be for us. The hottest days. I pray the best is yet to be for us. That you'd stir us up. You'd just grant us a whole pile of revival. And we would live for you in such a way that we would walk circumspectly. Wisely, making the most of our opportunity. Do you sense an urgency? I can tell you, we don't know what's going to happen to the church in America. We don't know what evil days are ahead of us, do we? And I thought about this as I was thinking about this lesson. Maybe the most evil day of all is the day in which everything is so easy for us. We live in an easy day. And it's easy to lose your priorities. We need to understand the urgency. It's an evil day, and our time is short. I'm fixing to have a birthday. I'm going to be 59. I have a sense of urgency. I don't know how long God's going to give me in my allotted time here on earth. But I can tell you one thing. I want to make the most of my opportunity. Do you? You know, I get my calendar out, and I look at it, and I say, okay. I've got to schedule in 17 grandchildren because I want to be intentional with my grandchildren. When am I going to pray for them? When am I going to pray for my children and their families? When am I going to do it? I've got to be intentional. I've got to make the most of my opportunity. Praying grandmothers, I'm telling you, they're powerful. They are powerful when I get in by myself in my house praying for my family and my children and praying for my church. Just like I said, I'm praying that the best days are ahead of us in our church, that God is going to come. I know the days are evil, but you know what? He could stir up the pocket right here in our church and help us to live in a zealous and passionate way for Him. And as you look at that word redeemed, let me tell you something cool about it. In the Greek, it's in what's called the middle voice. And that means you are redeeming the time. You're buying it up for yourself. Now, that's a beautiful thought as I studied it this week. And what that is saying is that when you're doing this, when you're buying up your opportunities for good, you're actually going to be tremendously blessed by God. It's going to benefit you. I like that thought. So as you're walking in the narrow way, you're walking carefully. You're walking accurately. You're making the most of your time. And what God will do is pour out tremendous blessing upon you. Every day. I want you to think of it as a daily basis. Every day God gives us opportunities to do good things and to shun sin. Every day we have these golden jewels that God places us right in front of us. I can think of so many times in my life when I missed opportunities. And this is one thing I've learned. When God gives you an opportunity, don't wait. Grab it and use it. Make that phone call. Have that visit. See that person. When God opens up that little door, don't wait. Walk through it. Walk through that. Sometimes we say, oh yeah, one day I'm really going to get involved in Bible study. One day I'm going to really get serious about my prayer life. Yeah, one day I'm going to really minister. You know, when I get to that place where I have time, I'm going to minister. One day I want to really talk to my neighbor. I'm going to do that one day. One day. I remember counseling with a very young girl years and years ago. She was in a hard place. And she had made some serious mistakes. And I said to her, I want you to get in Bible study. You need to know what God's Word says so that from this point on, you'll make wise choices. She said, I'm going to do that. I want to do that. She said, but right now, I'm real busy in school. She was young. She was going to college. She said, right now, I've got to do this and do this. And later, I'm going to do that. Now, I have followed that young girl's life. She has never made the time. And her life has been one mistake after another mistake after another mistake. When are you going to get serious and take advantage of the opportunity that's in your hand? Because the piece of opportunity you have is only today. You see, today is our only day. There are many biblical texts that warn people of limited opportunities. Let me give you a few examples. If you go to Genesis, you read about Noah. And this is what it says. The door was shut too late. When Noah and his family were in the ark, God shut the door. Opportunity was gone for the whole rest of the world. You go to Matthew 25 and you read the parable about the 10 virgins. And when they came in with their unprepared lamps, the door was shut. It was too late. The marriage was going on without them. And the words of the Lord Jesus to them ring out throughout history. The night comes when no man can work. In Revelation, we hear the Lord saying to the churches, you better get it right or I'm going to remove your candlestick and it'll be too late. In the Gospels, Judas was the biggest example of lost opportunity, I think, in the history of the world. He had spent 3 years in close relationship with the Son of God. 3 years with the King of eternity. 3 years with the Judge of all the earth. 3 years with the very God of glory. And he walked away from it all, and he hung himself, and he fell from that place, and he was dashed to pieces on the rocks beneath him. What a wasted opportunity. Now, when are you going to get serious about your time? When are you going to finally learn God's Word? get on your knees and seriously pray. Share Christ with those around you. Find out what your gift is and use it. I really want, myself personally, I want to take everything that God's given me and I want to use it for Him. And I want to make the most of every day. I want to grab every opportunity. I feel that way with my grandchildren. I'm just grabbing opportunities. And sometimes I get into bed at night and I'm so tired. But boy, have I grabbed some opportunities. Romans 13 says this. Knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our deliverance nearer than when we believed. You know, you and I are getting closer and closer to the Lord's coming. And closer to the day of our death. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now, I would call a person really foolish to throw away jewels. Or who would throw away money. But the one who throws away her time is even a bigger fool. Because there's a whole world to be won. There's the church that needs building. There's a God who needs glorifying. And we are living in a time that doesn't allow us to be trite. We need to fill our lives with that which is worth much, not with worthless activity. Here's the third thing, and I'm almost done. Because we don't want to panic, and we don't want to live haphazardly. So we come to the third point, and here it is. The wise Christian knows specifically what God wants him or her to do. Look at verse 17 with me. In that scripture, let me look in this version. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Because you and I don't want a lot more useless activity in our lives. We want to do what really matters. We want to share the Word of God. We want to be winning people to Christ. We don't want just a lot of other stuff tagged on to our life. How do we know what God's will is? I went through the Bible and I found out specific places where it says, this is the will of God. Let's see what I found out. Number one, we know that first of all, He wants people to be saved. And you see that in 1 Timothy 2:4. God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's number one. That's the will of God, that people be saved. Number two, understanding what the... Look there in your verse with me, verse 17. It says there, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then go to the very next verse. What is it? Be not drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Understand what the will of God is. Be filled with the Spirit. So the next one is that you be Spirit-filled. We see it right in that very next verse. Number three, you find a verse in 1 Thessalonians that says, this is the will of God concerning you, even your sanctification. And that's God's will, that you be sanctified. And that just means that your life is holy. Number four, you go to 1 Peter, and you find out that God's will is for us to be submissive. He says, this is the will of God, that you be submissive to the powers that be. You live a life as a citizen that is an honor and a respect to the Lord. You abide by those in the government and in leadership over you, giving honor to the king, giving due recognition to those in authority. You live a submissive life. Number five, God will, sometimes that we suffer. We find that in 1 Peter 4:19. Those also who suffer according to the will of God, he says, shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. And the last one is, it's God's will that we be thankful. Give thanks. I don't know exactly how I wrote it there. And we see there, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You say, well, that doesn't answer my question. Who should I marry and where should I go to college? And how about this job? But I'll tell you this. If you're living your life according to those six things, you can do what you want. You can do what you want. Love God, love others, do what you want. Be saved, have a sanctified, Spirit-filled, all of those things, thankful heart, willing to suffer, sanctify, set apart to be holy. You're doing those things, everything else will fall into place. And you'll know God's will, and you'll function within His will. Ladies, walk wisely. Walking wisely means make the most of your time. Making the most of your time means seizing your opportunities for God. You're going to have opportunities next week when you're living your life. You're going to remember this Sunday school lesson. I want you to seize those opportunities. They may be little. They're going to be choices. It might be a choice to turn your TV off and get in God's Word. Get on your knees and pray. Now, look in your Bible at our very next verse, verse 16, and it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Next week's lesson is going to be an interesting lesson because I'm going to teach you a lesson on drinking. I want to show you biblically what the Bible says about drinking. Have you ever heard a lesson actually on drinking? The point of that verse is be filled with the Spirit, and we'll get to that the next week. But I want to take time to really discuss the issues. Because why? You've got granddaughters, grandsons, you've got children in your life. You need to be able to sit down with your Bible and show them what does the Bible say biblically. Because you know what they're going to tell you? Well, Jesus drank. He drank wine. And his first miracle was he made wine at a wedding. So once drinking, he's fine. Now, what are you going to say to that when you're told that? What does the Bible say about drinking? And I want to just show you some real interesting things out of the Bible. I think you'll find it very interesting. So I don't want you to miss next week. Be ready because I'll probably give you a test. Okay, Leah?
I just feel like I need to share this. And
I do.
I probably should because I feel nervous when I'm God giving me something sometimes. So let's talk about missed opportunities. Michael and I went to dinner last night in Jackson. And I took us out to this kind of a private room. It was real quiet and romantic. And a couple, I guess it was a mother and father and a maybe mid-20s daughter came in. Long story short, you could feel the chill from the table. Nobody was talking. The daughter was crying. And I just felt an urgency.
You were dying to know what is wrong.
And so, you know, I want to know what's wrong and fix it. But I talk to the Lord all day. And I know when he tells me to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so the daddy got up. They ordered. The daddy got up, threw his credit card on the table, and left. And the daughter starts bawling. There's nobody in this private room at this time but me and Michael. And I told him, I said, I need to talk to him. He said, you are crazy. He said, no. He said, this could be a nosy. I said, no, really, I need to go. I just felt him.
Yeah.
And I didn't. It is killing me.
Yeah.
Like I should have gone.
You wanted to.
So I would just encourage y'all this week, and me too, to take those opportunities. Because our Sunday school class, you say it all the time, it could be powerful.
That's right. We're a force.
So I love it. We have missed opportunities every day.
That's right. We do.
And she even left her jacket. And I didn't get up and go catch her.
Oh,
I mean, it was just obvious. I was disobeying.
Missed opportunity. Missed opportunity. Let's pray and then we'll go. Father, thank you for this powerful word to us this morning. To be women who walk in a wise way, careful, making the most of their time. Because we only have so many days, God, to live for you. And so may we be careful. May we be walking alertly, looking from side to side and living our lives with accuracy. And thank you, Father, for opportunities. The ones that are before us. We can't do anything about the ones we've missed behind us. But God, help us to be women who make the most of our opportunities. To walk wisely. To walk worthy. Bless these dear, dear women for being in Bible study this morning. Thank you for this time together. And may it teach us and help us as we live our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you next week.